What's orange and sounds like a parrot? The answer, a carrot. Very poor. I don't know if you can hear that sound of scrabbling there. That's my dog coming over as if to say, oh, not that joke again. What's that, do you say? Shall I tell the one about you? Yeah, I know it's terrible. I know I've done it before, yeah. Two ducks in the park and one says, wank, 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 wank. Wank, 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 wank. And again, wank, 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 wank. And the other one says, you know, I was just about to say that myself. Yep, terrible jokes. Again, lets you know that you are listening to Bird Pod. Hello, and you're listening to Bird Pod, the weekly bird watching podcast, written and presented by me, Neil Baxter. If you want more information about Bird Pod, check out the official Bird Pod website at www.birdpod.webs.com. So this week it's all about bird calls. So I know we've had this before as Artificial Bird of the Week. You know, I can't remember what I've had and what I've not now, so we'll have it again, the blackbird. I love the sound of that. Yep, we'll have one more blast of that. That's the Audubon musical bird toy, available from the RSPB. A link on how to get there is on my website, which is www.birdpod.webs.com. So we'll talk about bird calls in a minute. First of all, birding news, interesting stories which I've found online. This one is from dailypost.co.uk, the date the 24th of June, rare bird spotted off Llandudno. More than 200 twitchers descended on a resort to spot a bird never previously seen in North Wales. The Royal Tern, usually seen on the eastern seaboard of the United States and Senegal in West Africa, was spotted in Llandudno. The arrival of the rare bird, the size of a small gull, sparked a flurry of excitement across the country, with enthusiasts rushing to the resort from as far as Dartford and Devon. Many filled between West Shore and North Shore as pagers and mobile phones throbbed with updates about its movements on Saturday and Sunday. Conway RSPB assistant site manager Mike Duckham, based at Llandudno Junction, said, I got a text from a birding friend to say it had been seen by the pier. I shot down there as quick as I could. When I first saw it off Llandudno North Shore, it was very distant. It came in close and then went out to sea. He says the Royal Tern was spotted at both North Shore and West Shore. It gave us the runaround. He added, there was a sighting in Kenfig near Bridgend in November 1981, but a Royal Tern has never before been seen in North Wales. It's caused a massive stir. It's quite holy grail. I'd only seen one before in the States and in the Western Sahara in Morocco in February. This one must have brought 200 twitchers from all over Great Britain into Llandudno's B&Bs because they stayed there on Saturday. It was very exciting. The reason for the Royal Tern's visit remains unclear. It's a big mystery, said Mike. It could be related to the weather. He said another friend, Alan Davis, spotted the Royal Tern from his flat window on the prom. He looked out of his window and saw it from there. Not bad for your house list. Mike said that the Royal Tern is known for its shaggy crest and long, thick orange beak like a small carrot. One witness, who did not wish to be named, spotted the enthusiast from Chatsworth House Hotel on Llandudno Promenade. She said, I saw lots of people gathered round a palm tree further down the promenade, taking pictures and making notes. They were bristling with long-lens cameras and binoculars. Messages were posted in the website forum at www.northwalesbirding.co.uk. One reported that a Royal Tern was seen at Abersock Harbour on June the 15th, and another in Ireland earlier in the month, prompting speculation all three sightings may be the same bird. I like little stories like that when it's birds that haven't been seen before. And of course all the twitchers going down to have a look. As I may have mentioned before, the nearest I got to that was in the local area at Red-Throated Diver. And one or two other birds, you know, I don't mind the twitching bit, but I ain't rushing across the country If it's within a short drive distance, I don't mind paying for the petrol. That's my take on the matter. This one, this is from morningsun.net, American site, I think. Yeah, it is. About 140 birds removed from Perk, it states. Pittsburgh. It only took a couple of hours Thursday morning for members of the Kansas Wildlife and Parks Office to round up about 140 ducks and geese at Lakeside Park. It went wonderfully, said Jeff Wilbert, Interim Parks and Recreation Director. I was a little apprehensive in that I didn't know quite how it was going to happen, but Mr. Tom Glick and the Kansas Wildlife and Parks Department were very professional. Out of the 140 birds removed, Wilbert said about 80 were geese, with about 65 Canada geese and 15 domestic geese. Hang on a minute, 65 out of 50. Oh, no, it does, it adds up to 80. Just testing my brain. The rest of the birds were ducks of several different varieties, he said. That left about 30 or so mallards, both male and female, that could fly, so they couldn't be caught, Wilbert said. I'm guessing that there was some in the neighbourhoods that we didn't see, but we took care of most of them at the lake. The capture came after Pittsburgh City Commissioners unanimously voted Tuesday to take steps to improve the park's bird situation. Before the capture, Wilbert estimated that there were more than 200 birds at the lake, something that Crawford County Health Officer Janice Gudek cited as a health concern. Also, as part of the steps the city elected to take, the duck house will be taken down and feeding at the park will be prohibited. While the commission vote was unanimous, the four citizens who spoke at the meeting were split on what to do. Sapien Gillis, a Pittsburgh State University graduate, a member of the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, questioned whether the birds were the park's real problem. If you are really at the park every day, you will see trash is always floating in the water, Gillis said. What are you going to do with removing people who are littering or feeding fowl? Just post a simple sign that says no littering. Vandalism and littering are the major causes of water pollution at our lakeside park, Gillis said. Humans cause as much of the problem as the ducks and geese. But Wilbert says that taking out the ducks and geese gave parks and recreation staff a nice head start on cleaning up the park. I just drove by at about 4 p.m. and the lake looks very peaceful and looks calm, Wilbert said. We plan to have a crew out there in the next week or so to clean up the sidewalks as well. This is about turning the lake back to the people, so to speak, Wilbert said. I hope people can now have the opportunity to go out there and enjoy even more. What do I think about that? I think that's just sort of crap. I really do. I think about the local park where I go, Mains Park. I've taken photos of many of the birds there. We get Canada geese, we get mallard, there's some domestic ducks. There are also some... Oh lordy, what have we got? We've got a heron keeps turning up there, some tufted ducks, moor hens, and that's the attraction of going to the park. I like going with my wife and my dogs and we feed the ducks, so I really would not want to go to that park seeing as it was duck and goose free. I just thought I'd include that story because I find it interesting, but weird story that. I don't think you'd get that over here. I mean, it may happen, but strange story done so positively about so negative an act. Still, let us carry on. This is something from another American website, but this is somebody who obviously does care about birds, hence my opinion on that last one. Please note. So, Pittsburgh, I don't think I will be going there, and Lakeside Park, you can shove it. I certainly would not want to go. Any fans of that, but stop it now, come on. Get off your high horse. Here comes a low horse. Let's get on this. Right, this one is from theolympian.com, June 27th, 2009. Offering baths attracts birds, bees to garden. Kennewick, if you're trying to encourage birds and insect wildlife in your garden, providing water in our hot, dry climate is an advantage. While some species of birds get their water from the fruit and other plants they feed on, many species of bird need water for both drinking and taking a bath, thus the name bird bath. I like the decorative aspect of a bird bath with the reflective surface of the water, providing a note of tranquility to my patio and garden. However, large flat pot saucers or even an upturned garbage can lid can be used as alternatives to more expensive metal, stone and pottery bird baths, according to Margaret Brittingham, Associate Professor of Wildlife at Penn State University. Whether manufactured or makeshift, Brittingham indicates that a bird bath should be no deeper than 3 inches in the centre, with the side sloping downwards to the deepest point. She also notes that birds need an edge around the rim of the bath to serve as a perch. Smooth glass or plastic surfaces can be slippery, making it hard for birds to hold on. The edge should be rough, or you can provide footing by placing flat stones near the edge of the bath container. Brittingham also noted that birds are attracted to dripping water, making bird baths already plumbed and wired as a fountain ideal. Handy gardeners with a drip system can probably devise a little drip emitter for the bird bath. The presence or absence of cats in your yard is an important factor when considering where to locate a bird bath. A bird bath can be placed on the ground if cats aren't around. If you have cats on the prowl, a bath should be elevated on a pedestal or stand of some sort. It's good to locate a bird bath near a tree or shrub where branches provide the birds with a place to stop and preen before flying off. However, if cats are present, don't place a bird bath next to shrubs where the cats could lie in wait. It's recommended that you keep your bird bath free of algae and prevent it from becoming a breeding zone for mosquitoes. In hot weather, replace the water daily. To prevent the build-up of algae, scrub and rinse the bath basin at least once a week. Don't use chemicals to control the algae. They can be harmful to the birds. Birds aren't the only backyard visitors that can benefit from providing a refreshing water source. Honeybees need water too. Experts recommend a large container as a bee bath, since bees found the water by noting the increased humidity above the area. Smaller containers don't raise the humidity enough to get the attention of the bees. Deep containers like bird baths can lead to bees drowning. You can prevent this by placing pebbles or small stones in a container and then adding water. The pebbles act as bee perches, so the water shouldn't cover the pebbles. An alternative to pebbles is providing floating surfaces such as twigs or pieces of wood in the water for the bees to land on. It is also important to keep any bee bath clean with fresh water and scrubbing. If you don't have a bird bath or a bee bath in your garden, think about adding one. The visits of birds and honeybees are true delights. Now that I find to be an interesting article, and supported of birds. Very supportive, unlike the last one. Here I go again. What I like about that is the tips there, very useful. As I'm looking through that, I'm making a mental tip list of what I do that's similar to that. Yeah, I do have shrubs nearby, I do have it raised. What I do have, instead of paying for an expensive bird bath, which if you like the aesthetics of the thing, you want something that looks nice, go for it. If you want something cheap, this was something I got from Tesco, and it was quite a large ceramic saucer. The advantage of that is, number one, it was cheap. I think it was about £1.50. It is shallow. It does have a slope towards the edge. And the good thing is, because it is, I don't know, it's ceramic or it is pot, anyway, the surface is quite rough, so you don't need to worry about the birds slip-sliding and not being able to get a grip. I also do have a large pebble in there, so birds can perch on it. How often does it get used? Daily. I think it's one of the best things I've bought for my birds and one of the least expensive. So, yeah, I'm all in favour of that story. Okay, so that's been birding news for this week. Let me see, what can I say? Well, we're going to talk about bird calls. And, well, the sound of birds, I was going to say. Yeah, this time of year, of course, is when there's plenty of foliage around. Birds can be harder to spot. Because, as I've said before, I'm not an advanced or a practitioner of bird watching for many years. I only took a serious interest in this last year, last June to be exact. And, I don't know, I probably picked the time of the year where there's a lot of birds, but depending on where you go, you have a chance of not seeing that many. Why is that? Well, as I said, they're in amongst the trees. So you can hear them, but you can't see them. because when I first started looking at birds, I found it was a real struggle looking for long-tailed tits. And it was only once it started becoming autumn and then winter that they were easier to spot, because basically all you did then was just looped up. So what's all this about then? Well, if you're keen on birds and bird watching, you develop an ear for music and the calls. So the most common one that you can probably hear at the moment, particularly in the early mornings and in dusk, is the blackbird, hence me using that as the artificial bird of the week. These birds are amazing. They improvise, they add bits to the songs. They do the tick-tick noise when there's danger. They do scolding. Sometimes they fly away disgruntled, and I thought, let's see if I can do the sound justice. It's... which might sound a bit mad, but that's what it sounds like. But let's have a see. I'm just on the RSPB website here. So we'll have a listen to the blackbird. Well, there we go. So the other bird that you can hear quite regularly, you know, if you're looking for the songsmiths in your local area as such, let's find the robin. Is that the distress signal? Oh, there we are, there's the song. So they are my two, well, a couple of my favourite birds there, the song and, sorry, the robin and the blackbird. They are great songsmiths or tunesmiths, whatever you want to call them. What else do we hear? I'm picking something that are tuneful. The wren. There we go. Let's see when it gets going. And let's go on to another of my favourite birds, which is the grey wagtail. The reason being, I was hoping to get a live recording this week. And there's a technical thing. It's called Sod's Law. Or if you want to tone it down a bit, Murphy's Law, where anything that can go wrong will. Well, in my case, it was looking for a grey wagtail when I didn't have my phone with me to make a recording. Went out last week and one, well, there were two there with a younger bird, and it kept scolding us, making little chipping noises and flying away and then coming back, you know, more or less saying, get away from me, child. Let's have a listen. See, the thing about this now is I'm picking things that, you know, one part I have to think, what the heck's that? I don't know, I can't identify it. I have to see it to find out what it is. So, you know, as you develop an ear for these things, you will think, ah, there's such a thing there, and then you'll know what it is. But let's go for a common one here. This next one is the herring gull. The reason I include this is, for people who say, well, I can't recognise birds just by the song. Ah, well, that's where you're wrong. If you've ever been to the seaside or seen a film or a television programme set at the seaside, you'll have heard this. There we are, that's the same. That's the same that you hear. And that's the one where people say, ah, it's a seagull. So what else have we got? Well, okay, the traditional duck would be the mallard, wouldn't it? The good thing about this is you've no picture, so it's the nearest you can have to having your eyes closed and just listening. One of the most instantly recognisable birds, I think. Now you tell me that if you heard that, you wouldn't say, oh, I don't know what that is. Most people just from trips out to the park. There's a magpie. If you don't see him, you can hear him. Kind of reminds me of a car start, you know, a football rattle. And that's something, you know, it's distinctive. You're out in the, amongst the trees and you hear that, you know it's a magpie. And another one, which I find common, you can hear them, but you can't see them always, and that's the wood pigeon. So now let's go to the collared dove, another one that you can hear, which is reported to say United, United. So it's a football fan. It sounds pretty weird, it does indeed, but let's have Let's have a listen. Let's see. Does it sound like it's saying United? We'll find out. No, nope, I suppose it's not a bad description. Let's have one more go at it. So is that United? United? So there we are. I don't know if it's going to sing anything else, but doing football chants. I'll tell you what we will go with. One bird that I found extremely distinctive. It does stand out. Let's say you were a visitor from another planet. You'd never seen a bird before, and you think, what the hell is that noise? Well, it's a jay. And what does a jay sound like? That is, to me, it's an interesting but somewhat horrible noise. It's like it's a shriek, cross between somebody revving a motorbike, somebody ripping cloth. Weird, lovely looking bird, but an absolutely weird sound. Okay, I'll tell you what, well, that's from the Corvidae or crow family. We will finish with a couple of crows. I'll tell you what, let's go on to this. We'll go to a carrion crow. Common bird, but... that's an absolutely brilliant sound, that. So let us then go to a rook, or a rook, if you want to use my accent. Another from the crow family. That's a rook. And we'll go on to a jackdaw. This is the jackdaw. Which is weird, because I mean the other two have a similarity, don't they? But this sounds totally different. And what shall we finish with? Let's finish, of course, with a raven. Well, we're going down that route. And here is the raven. That is a weird sound. I think often described as it's saying cronk. Because, you know, you have a look in these bird books and you see the written description on what they sound like. And I have to say, they are pretty good. It looks weird, and you think, oh, they don't sound like that, do they? Well, yeah, they do. I lied, I said I was going to finish with that. What I'm going to finish with is one of my favourite birds, which is the puffin, because I think these are just comical-looking birds, and the noise in there, it's, well, just have a listen. I think they're brilliant. It's just a totally weird sound, but great looking, like clownish looking birds, but the same in there. So that's about it for this week. Did I mention I've got a website? I don't think you have, they cried. It wouldn't be www.birdpod.webs.com, would it? I say, what's that? www.birdpod.webs.com. Yes, they cried. www.birdpod.webs.com. Yes, well, you get the picture, you know. I'm a later spam when it's my own site. So that's me finished with that. If you want to get in touch, contact me by sending an email direct to birdpod@hotmail.co.uk. Next week's BirdPod should have some live elements in it. Hopefully it's me, my camera, my binoculars, my scope, my flask of tea, maybe a bag of crisps. Could have a bar of chocolate. Let's not get hasty. Let's not get above ourselves. I'm only having a day out, not a life-changing adventure. So that's it. See you next week. Thanks for listening. And go on, one more. Let's have the blackbird.